Today is the final Sunday of a series that we titled God Never Said That, and what we've done each week is to take a look at a phrase that I call a platitude or a Christian cliche or a phantom passage, and things that I think we often use on a daily kind of basis, and to just, instead of just let them fall off our lips and just use them blindly, just explore them a little more deeply so that maybe we understand that in these words what we're truly saying. And to challenge ourselves, to ask ourselves, is what this statement says, is it really true? To ask ourselves, is what this statement says is the truth, is it really something that God has said? And so then also to ask ourselves, is this what we really want to say? So we've explored everything happens for a reason. Love the sinner, hate the sin. God won't give you more than you can handle. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Maybe you've heard those or said those in your life. And today we're going to conclude with God wants us to be happy. If you missed any pieces of this series, you may access those messages on the website or on our Carmel UMC app, and you can hear those again. But as we prepare for today's message, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for this wonderful blessing of this day and this wonderful blessing of being able to be together as a community. And God, I just pray that through the words that I share, the message that you have laid on my heart, that we are challenged to think more deeply and then to live in ways that you call us to live. In the name of Jesus, amen. I know that in preparation for these messages, staff, we've had fun talking about these messages, and I've heard from many of you that you've enjoyed this time to really question what these statements say. So I thought, as a part of concluding today, that I'd pick three other statements that are out there that I think we sometimes use or hear other people say, and have an oral quiz this morning. So here's what I want this to look like. I'm going to have a statement thrown up on the screen, and the question will be, is it in the Bible or not? And so there's either a yes or no answer. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to look at the question, think about it. I'll ask you, is it in the Bible? And then I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And remember, I said it's an oral quiz, which means it's okay to use your voices in church other than singing. So you either respond yes or no. Now, here's the thing. I know from last hour the answers were all over the place. And that's okay, because you know what? If my answer is wrong, it's okay, because in the United Methodist Church, we believe in lots of grace. So it'll work. It'll work. Let's have some fun with this. Okay, first question. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, yes or no? Is this in the Bible? I know. Wait till I count. Wait till I count. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Well, it's diverse a little bit, but the answer is yes. Proverbs 13, verse 2. Wow, surprise somebody, huh? Okay, let's try the second question. Stand with anybody that stands right. Stand with him while he is right and part with him when he goes wrong. Now, is it in the Bible, yes or no? 1, 2, 3.
No.
Oh, gosh, you guys are so good. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln said that? Peoria, Illinois, 1854. There you go. Last one. Question number 3, is it in the Bible? 1, 2, 3. Oh, we were weak on that. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
It is. Psalm 8, verse 2. How many things in life do we think are biblical and they're not? I hope overall this series has challenged us a little bit to think and to study scriptures more often. So today, I'm not going to ask for an oral answer up front. We're going to explore God wants to make us happy. And so I say, do you really think so? And I think my answer up front to this is, I'm going to answer yes and no. And I know that sounds rather non-committal, but I feel like I need to be non-committal, because I do believe that God wants us to be happy. But what we in today's society call happy, and what we in today's society and in our context have done with happiness, in many ways has gone so far away from what God intends, that I can no longer say, just kind of just out there all the time, God wants us to be happy, because I'm afraid when I use that about what it says about God and how this phrase may be misleading. So first of all, this morning, I want us to take a look at how it has become a bit misleading, our understanding of what it means for God wants us to be happy, and then I want to conclude with what God really intends to make us happy. So as I begin today, I want to open with a word of scripture that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, which I believe is still written to us today. Words that I hope that will help center us on the message and help us to focus. So I read from chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May those words guide us and steer us into today's message. Okay, the first, I'm going to identify what I think are three risks with this cliche in today's world. And the first one, it stems from the thinking of many of us in the United States, as we tend to confuse happiness with gratification and pleasure. Happiness comes out of what we get, and happiness comes out of when we're having fun. We think that in the pursuit of more and wishing we could have what another has, we're moving toward happiness and achieving happiness. And if God wants us to be happy, this pursuit is fine. And so that's why God wants us to be happy. But happiness cannot be found in having everything that we desire. If that is God's happiness, then those on the street who are totally impoverished, who are hungry and lonely, God doesn't want happiness for them. And that's not what I believe who our God really is. The Apostle Paul understood that we can very easily deceive ourselves into understanding and believing that others are happier than we are because of their possessions. Therefore, we struggle to have what they have in order that we can be as happy as we perceive that they are. And so this vicious cycle of struggling to keep up with the Joneses fills our lives with all kinds of sorrows and disappointments. And I really think if we have not learned it already, we will learn that things and circumstances are temporary. They're dust and they rust. I know that for many people coming to church, and when they hear that the message is going to be about money or possessions or stewardship or tithing, don't necessarily like to hear those kinds of messages. But I honestly believe that if we are to understand God and what God intends for our happiness, that I honestly believe that we find a good piece of that message when we talk about money and tithing and stewardship. Because happiness, as God desires for us, can be lost in our desire of possessions. So we need to speak of stewardship and tithing as a tool that God has given to us to help us to reach the happy that he desires for us. I like to think of tithing as a budgeting tool that I've been given a way to get to this happiness that God desires for us. So here's why talking about money and stewardship and possessions taps into this happiness. And here's how it unfolds. God calls us to be good stewards of all he has given to us. And God has given to us everything that we have. Everything we have comes from God. God gives to us because he wants us to be happy and blessed. You hear that? Yes, I can answer that question. God wants us to be happy, yes, within the right context. But because God knows what we humans are prone to do with what has been given to us, thinking it's all ours because we've worked really hard for what we have, thinking it's all ours, and so we become feeling entitled to all that we have, and entitled to have all that we have and more. So we look to the Joneses to look for what more we could want. God knows this about us, and I believe that He really wants to keep us on track to understand this real happiness and to not be caught up in this perpetual pursuit of happiness in the wrong way. So He's given to us this tool, this guide of tithing, of how we look at our possessions and how we use our possessions. So let's imagine, I'm thinking that if God were speaking directly to us, that this may be what He may say to us. Let me help you avoid this materialistic trap, claiming to lead to happiness, and thinking this is the happy that I speak of, that I give all to you. Because what I really say to you is I give to you, but then I say, give back one-tenth. Give back to me to show your thanks and praise. Give back to me to show that in your heart you really do love and care for mankind. Give back to me to show that you realize it all comes from me who wants you to know true happiness, but also tucked in here is an insurance policy to ensure you don't think you have to have all things and you need more and more. End of the talk from God. He's given us this way that we release some of what we have, understanding it's God's anyway. We release it, and that creates a gap so that we don't think we have to have all and have more. God wants us to be happy, but it's not dependent upon things or circumstances. Things and circumstances change all the time. The happy that God wants us to know is present no matter what we have, and it's with us no matter our circumstances. Solomon, as an example in the Old Testament, who after he sought after everything in his heart, he said this, "Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." He learned. He learned this happy lesson. How often do we get caught up in, oh, how happy I could be if I only had, how happy I could be. Or maybe, I know I could be happy if I could do, and then I'd really be happy. So that doesn't work. In 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things of the world. And he unfolds to talk about the problems that happen with that. Okay, that's one of the ways that I think we've confused or misconstrued happy from God. A second way that I see is, when we use the phrase, God really wants me to be happy, and that is to justify sinful choices. God wants me to be happy, is understood and used by people when they're doing obviously wrong, so they use it to justify their sin. A husband moves in with another woman who's not his wife and justifies it by saying, you know, she really makes me happy. And I know God wants me to be happy. A parent neglects their child in pursuit of their career or their own recreation, just justifying it by saying, well, this makes me happy, and I know God wants me to be happy. A young adult is caught up in sexual activity with a girlfriend or boyfriend and justifies it by saying, but I love them, and they make me happy. God wants me to be happy. You know, if we're seeking this happiness in sinful things, they're fleeting pleasures of sin. And God says, you know what? That's not the happiness that I'm talking about that I desire for you. And finally, third, a place that in today's context that I think we look for happy, and therefore I can't so freely say God wants us to be happy. And that place is the American parents, number one. Desire for our children today is that our kids be happy. Made our children's happiness. It's like the altar of our life. We'll do all we can. will go to all kinds of extremes, get into all kinds of debt to buy the things that the children need to be happy. And we'll also spend all of our time and spend all of our money enrolling our kids in activities that, oh my gosh, they couldn't be happy if they were not in. Oh, because we think it's all about happiness. And as parents, don't we know that God wants us and our kids to be happy? We helicopter to manipulate all the circumstances of their lives so that they don't feel any pain, they don't feel any consequences, they don't feel any sorrow, because we want our kids to be happy. Because isn't that what God wants, is for our children to be happy? So our children are overprovided for and overprotected from these situations and given all these things that really are counter to what God says to us brings happy into our lives. Happy is a choice. Or how we pursue happy or what we understand happy to be is a choice. And God says, that's not the one. We got it all wrong. If we listen to God, 28 times in the Old Testament the word happy is used, and 28 times that context or what happy means is it's about spiritual things and spiritual attitudes. In the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, he said this: God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. You know, Paul, from prison, wrote letters. And you know, what circumstance of being in prison can possibly be a happy experience? But everything he wrote about, that circumstance didn't matter. And you know, he didn't have any things. But in the letters that he writes to the churches, he talks about happiness and how happy he was in Jesus Christ. And he also would say, without this, though you had all things, you could never be happy. Patrick Henry, a well-known statesman for Virginia, was very well-to-do when he died. He had a will and gave everything, all material things, to his children. But at the end of his will, he said, "There is one more thing I wish I could leave you all, the salvation of Jesus Christ. With this, though you had nothing else, you could be happy. Without this, though you had all things, you could never be happy." So, talk about this pursuit of happy, what happy is, and that God wants us to be happy. How scary is it to tweak, to change the pursuit of happiness that we have going on in our lives today? How scary is it to let go and stop pursuing some of those things that we think we've got to have in order to be happy, and instead change to pursue the happiness that God intends for us? What kind of gods, mini gods, do we have to let go of in our lives to get that kind of happy that God desires? Close today's message and the series with these words from Ecclesiastes, which I think summarizes this well. "There's nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil." Do you hear the happiness and fun that's desired? "This also I saw is from the hand of God." See, God wants us to be happy. "For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a chasing after the wind." God wants you to pursue him. Not pursuing him for happiness, but for who he is. That's the happy that we're talking about when we say God wants us to be happy. So I ask us, before we use that, in the context in which you're going to use that phrase, can you really be using it? I think sometimes no and sometimes yes. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? God, we hear in your word the challenges and the ways that you desire for us to love you and to know you and to serve you. But we're always challenged. And so, God, may this message touch each of our hearts and challenge us to really consider what kind of happiness you desire for us. Because what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for us, if there's no better measure, no better way of expressing your desire for us to be happy, I don't know what it would be. So as we gather at your table today, may we remember that, yes, indeed, you want us to be happy through Jesus Christ. Amen.